So I don't know if I've ever shared this with y'all. I'm afraid of water. I think it started when I was a kid. I grew up near the Atlantic Ocean and I went to the beach a lot growing up. I'm really nearsighted. I can see about this far without my glasses, and I had to take my glasses off to get in the water. I didn't mind that so much when things were calm and I could just float and relax, but this is the ocean we're talking about. So most of the time there were waves. And I'd get picked up and tossed around by them, and sometimes I'd get pushed under. And I'd notice that my friends were loving that and having a great time. Without my glasses, I couldn't see them coming. And I was always very much out of control of the situation and afraid. 50 years later, earlier this summer, I was on the phone with my friend Laura, who was serving a congregation in Washington State. Laura and I are seminary buddies, and we've been calling each other every week for the last 10 years. We've made it a practice to accompany each other through our ministries and through our lives. And we started intentionally meeting challenges together a few years ago, like going to the Arizona desert to risk arrest for leaving water for immigrants in solidarity with the No More Deaths volunteers who are facing charges for doing that. And like learning just a little bit of Spanish and then traveling to Mexico together during our sabbatical a year and a half. So when she called me during her last 2 weeks of serving this congregation last month and told me how lonely it was, I booked a flight. I flew out to Washington to be there with her. And while we were planning that trip, she said to me, "We always find a challenge to face together. I have always wanted to go whitewater rafting on the Wenatchee River, but I've always been really nervous about it. Will you do that with me?" Did I mention that I'm afraid of water? So I said to her, "That scares me. So yeah, let's do that together." And so we got there, and as they have to, the guides for the raft start telling us everything that can go wrong. Right, telling us what to do when things go wrong, telling us not to let go of our paddles, telling us to yell, right, and to listen for the word swimmer, because that's our new name, right? If we're out of the boat, they yell swimmer and tell you what to do. And I'm looking at the water churning below us. It was really very dramatic. We're on the top of this steep, rocky slope where the road is, where they dropped us off, and the boats are up there with us. And they had just taken the boats, the rafts, and just sort of pushed them down until they got to the bottom. And we're looking at them down there at the bottom with the first of the rapids that we're going to hit right there. Oh boy. So we got in our boats. Our guide was fabulous, very not calming, but just very competent, super competent, which is calming in and of itself. The two other people in the boat with Laura and me had done this before. So we're feeling okay. Right. And we get in and we go into the first rapid, and the boat dips really strong and then comes back up. And we're like, "Whoa, that was amazing." And we kept on. Right. And the rapids, and if any of you've gone rafting before, you know the rapids slow down a little bit and you get into a smooth patch, and then they speed up again a little bit and you do more. At some point, after two or three of these rapids, the guide said to us, "So the river's really low right now, and we can't take full rafts all the way to our ending point. And so we have got inflatable kayaks for you all. And you're going to get out of the rafts, and two of you at a time are get, you know, you're going to take these two-person kayaks, and you're going to be on your own." And Laura and I looked at each other and went, "Are you kidding me?" And so that happened. That happened. And I got in the back of the boat because I own a kayak and I know how to steer a boat a little bit in still and slow-moving water, which I found out is a very different thing from steering a boat through rapids in a fast-moving water. And so we got in and we did some practice paddling, and I learned right away that everything I know about still water is not on the table. That the boat will, that the water will take you. The water will take you where it's going. And you have to figure out where the water's going before you can figure out what to do with your paddle. And not only that, the person in the front of the boat, who in my case had never been in a kayak before, also has to paddle. And so you have to coordinate somehow. And so I found myself yelling at the top of my lungs, paddle left. No, hold on, paddle right. And she would like very slowly switch because she didn't know what she was doing. And by the time she got into the right, she really should have been in a left. And it was just, so we made it through our first rapid together. And I relaxed. And then Laura stiffened up in front of me. And we hit a rock. And the boat flipped. Both of us kind of went, and the boat flipped. And we landed in the water under it. And after that initial moment of terror, I pushed the boat up and ducked myself out from under it and stuck my legs out in front of me like I was supposed to and laid back. And Laura was next to me and we grabbed hands and looked at each other and we just started laughing. Everything we had been terrified of just washed right off us. And other people in boats and our guides paddled towards us, picked up our raft. No, I picked up our raft and flipped it over, but they picked up the paddle that I had let go, that I wasn't supposed to let go. They picked up our water bottles. One of them got out and helped us get back into the boat, and we kept going. Landing in that water was the best thing that could have happened, even though it was the thing I was most afraid of. So I learned some things, and I'm inviting you to hear all of these things as metaphors. I learned that it's important to prepare myself realistically to face what I fear. I put my contacts in for this ride. I learned that if I know even a tiny bit more than someone else, I can help, but I have to let go of the need to do it right. I learned that yelling and changing my mind will not necessarily turn people away. Laura and I joked that every minister and their board president should do this trip. I learned that you both have to paddle. I learned that you have to move faster than the current if you're going to keep control. And I learned that losing control isn't so bad. I learned that if I relax too early when I really should still be vigilant, I might flip my boat over a rock. I learned that sometimes the thing that I'm the most terrified of can turn out to be the best thing that could possibly happen. I learned when the worst happens to reach out and hold hands. I learned that I can do the hard thing and then relax into the easy thing to prepare for the next hard thing. I learned that the river keeps on rolling along. I learned that I can follow my heart even when I'm afraid. My fear of water was completely forgotten, taken over by the fear of most of the things that I just listed as lessons learned. Learning on the go, making my Kindle switch, making fast decisions, yelling and changing my mind, losing control, flipping the boat. But there was care and trust between me and my partner, so I could turn toward all of those fears and keep moving, especially when the biggest fear happened first. In a tiny boat on a river, when I'm the one steering the boat, there's really no other choice. If the river is going to keep flowing, keep rolling along in ways we can't predict, and boy, isn't that a metaphor for these days. The best thing we can do is prepare and then allow ourselves to go with it. Know that there will be hard things and really hard things and easier things. Times that make us clench up with fear and loss and grief. And times that our shoulders can drop, if only a little bit. what would it look like in our lives in this time to practice finding the possibility of ease or even joy in the things that we fear? Not to deny the fear, not to deny the hard things, but to intentionally take our focus, shift it, and ask, if I have to be in this hard time, what can I do to bring some ease or some joy to myself or to each other? What if we change how we perceive the ordinary day-to-day routine of our lives and the multiple challenges that go with them? What if we change them into something extraordinary, healing, life-giving? I think this is what we're here for. We humans, I mean, especially we humans who gather to celebrate the life we share, even in this way. We are here to trouble the water, the way God was said to trouble the water, by giving it healing properties. That's what the song is about. God troubled the water to let the people pass and offer the hope of that troubled water to ourselves and to each other. So let's start with this. Y'all sent in the most beautiful pictures, and I am so grateful because now, in the middle of the hard thing of doing this service online for the second darned year, we get to relax a little bit into each other's water images and listen to a piece of Flight of the Hawks version of The River She Is Flowing. Thank you all so much. It was so wonderful to see the water images that you all found meaningful and to get to see some of your faces. It was also really good to see some of you in person this week and share some stories with y'all as you dropped off water to be blended. I have those waters here, and I'll pour them in a moment. But first, I offer water from the four directions, representing all that connects us. I pour waters from the east, representing our thoughts, our ideas, our inspirations. Pour water from the south, representing our energy, our passions, our motivations. I pour waters from the west, representing our emotions, our compassion, our desires. And I pour waters from the north, representing our grounding, our tenacity, our commitments. To these waters of connection, I pour the waters we have gathered over the years, representing our history and our dedication and our shared gifts. And now I pour the waters you brought, representing your experiences in the world and all you bring to this beloved community. So I will boil our water and save some of it in our freezer like I do every year. I'll also fill tiny little vials, and each of you will receive one of those vials in the next week or two so that you have a little bit of our shared water. And I'll pour what is left out onto the earth after the service, where it will be part of the water cycle. Thank you, friends.